All right. Good morning, folks. This is Commissioner Brian Colquhoun, meeting 12th floor of the Capitol today. It's February 27th, approximately 10:40 for the administrative portion of our regular scheduled commission meeting. There are several items on consent. I would move passage.
Second.
We have a motion, a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
All right, thank you. The Commissioner Crisman talked to me during the break, and he'd reviewed the motion that was previously put forward, item BK3, case number PU13-88. And he basically, Randy informed me he was ready to cast a vote on this and didn't have any other questions. Is that fair?
That is correct, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, so Ms. Julie, do you have any other questions on it? I think we could proceed with the vote, Daryl.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay. With that, we'll move right into discussion matters with the commission. WBI Pipeline Damage Incidents, one call. Patrick Fawn.
The commission asked that this issue be held over from the last meeting to this one. And the question, again, is whether staff should file damage prevention complaints if staff determines there are potential violations of the one call law regarding the two WBI pipeline damage incidents. And I just can report that we haven't received anything from, as far as a complaint from any parties involved.
Okay. I know Commissioner Fedorchuk, you had some discussion with some folks. Did you have any comments you wanted to add around this?
Well, I was out meeting with MDU this week and talked to some of their folks in the pipeline safety area and learned more about this incident. The Watford City one in particular. I'm forgetting the... was the other one up by Kenmare? The other incident? Where was it? There's Taylor. Two of them.
One was by Taylor.
I believe. Taylor. That's right. Taylor and Watford City. And the Watford City matter was... after I learned it and had it described to me, it seemed a lot more serious than what I had in my... envisioned that transmission line being severed by a excavator that was grading the land, breaking up frozen dirt for an oil drilling pad, and one of their long teeth caught the line and severed it, and they continued to drive for a fair distance across the field without even knowing that they'd severed the line, and then heard it and reported it and knocked out, you know, it was the transmission line in to serve that community. So anyway, I did talk to MDU about this whole issue of pipeline safety and one call violations, and suggested that it's difficult for us to know sometimes if we should be what we should be doing when they aren't even filing complaints on damage to their property. They suggested that they will be in the future doing more, filing more formal complaints, because with the new law passed, they feel like there's more teeth, and with higher fines, it makes it worth their while to file the complaints. It didn't matter to them before because they didn't think it was a deterrent to fine somebody $500 or whatever the highest level was in the past. So hopefully that will be... trigger more filing of complaints so we can, you know, see the process forward, and over time the companies will be penalized more and hopefully they'll be more careful. On this issue, the Watford City one in particular, I tend to think we should do the investigation and get the ball rolling ourselves.
Well, that's what I guess the question I had, Pat, was. Appreciate that background, Julie, because that's, I think, is very revealing about some of the changes downstairs. When staff doesn't, I don't recall a staff asking for commission approval before to file a complaint. If you had a complaint, you just filed it.
Well, we did have one that set precedent, I think, for staff. It was the one where we had the fatality in the Avina case.
Right.
I believe we did discuss it before the commission.
Like when Xcel had those challenges in Fargo, there was never a discussion with the commission. You made your recommendation and you filed it. Is it different when it's a violation of investor-owned and how they do their operations vice how you file it with a one call?
The difference, well, the other case, the Xcel situation that you're talking about was a pipeline safety violation.
Right. But there was no discussion with the commission on that. The staff just filed it.
We have a procedure in place that that where the staff does file notice of probable violation when we find a pipeline safety violation.
We don't have that.
We don't have that same procedure here.
Okay. That's the part I wanted to make sure I understood, but for my colleagues, too, it is a little bit. Normally, staff in some areas would not come to us and ask. They would just file it. But I think what I've heard from Commissioner Fedorchik and myself, too, I would look forward if staff has concerns for them to file them. I don't know, Randy, what your thoughts would be. But
well, based on if the concern from the company that whether they might file one or not was based largely on the minimal fines that have been in law up till now, I would doubt that law was retroactive anyway. So I'm sure this will probably still be under the old fining statutes, so they probably aren't going to again anyhow. So I would agree that we probably may as well proceed.
Okay. Does that answer, Pat? Give you the guidance you need?
I have one more question.
Okay.
Are we proceeding on both cases?
I think so.
Okay.
Proceed on both cases, and then we'll make determinations on each one's merits.
Sure.
But they would be two separate cases, though.
Yes.
Okay. And then if we needed to in the future come up with some sort of standards for when we pursue a staff complaint on one call violations, we could probably do that, but maybe the law will take care of that. We won't need to, but we could come up with some standards. I would think maybe if it's a transmission line or certain levels of damage that would warrant are filing a complaint on our own because of the public safety implications or, higher level of public safety implications or whatever.
Right. Randy, any thoughts about all two? You okay with all two?
All two.
Yeah. All right. Anything else, Patrick?
Thank you.
Okay, fair enough. So do we need to schedule those for anything? What's the next step then? You'll file those with all three commissioners, then we'll schedule a we wouldn't do a work session. We'd probably schedule an informal, let the company respond to it. Walk me through the process again on this.
The next thing that would happen is that staff would file a complaint, complaints. Each one would be a separate case. The commission would determine whether they state a prima facie case.
Okay.
And at that point, we would serve them on the respondents. And they would have time to respond, and then staff review the response, would determine whether to go forward. We would then draft a notice of hearing with the commission unless they were settled in some other manner. Then it could be a consent order that would come before the commission.
Okay, fair enough. That makes sense. So now Chris was helping out with these before. Are we going to rope Sarah into some of this?
Both incidents here are pipeline.
Okay.
And so Aaron
is
the investigator.
Sure. All right, fair enough. Any questions, Julie or Randy? All right, thank you, Pat. Okay, we have Great River Energy Nitrogen Fertilizer Plant, Stutzman County Jurisdictional Termination. It's a lot of long words. Alana.
Oh, I did get a letter out late yesterday, a draft letter. I don't think there's anything new in here. A very short description of what they asked for, as narrow as possible, basically, and an answer as narrow as possible.
I thought it was very good. You kept it clear and concise. This is what they considered. This is what we did. If you want to change things, come back to us. Yeah, I thought it was good.
Okay. I did mention in there that it wasn't appropriate to grant intervention, but that everything was considered, and they're getting copies of what we're doing. I thought that covered the Otter Tail MDU issues.
And we'll just have to see if what might happen going forward.
Right.
Okay.
So this will go out today if it's okay with the commission.
Randy, I saw your note. You said good.
Yeah, I thought it was well written.
Julie, do you
thanks.
Have any
concerns? I'm fine with it. Nope.
Okay, perfect. All righty. Number three, B3, Earth Harvest Mills. Sue.
I sent a memo to the commission yesterday. We'd received a couple claims in Earth Harvest Mills, and staff is drafting documents. We're close, but not quite to a final set of documents yet, And Grayson, in the meantime, Grayson Holberg has asked to have a face-to-face with a commission before we file any documents in court.
Can you walk me through this one? This is the one that we did in December, right?
Yes, we did a memorandum of agreement in December, and he was supposed to have compliance, full conversion, completed by tomorrow is his last day.
So what's the, why does he want to talk to us again? I thought that was pretty clear. I mean, I've had enough of this.
Well, that was a series of promises and a deadline of the 28th. But in addition, there were the claims coming in, and Sue and I were proceeding to have the insolvency opened, be even before the 28th, because a claim was not part of that agreement. And so it's on that track, the insolvency track, that he asked to talk to the commission.
I would defer to the portfolio holder. If we need to, well, I guess this is a discussion. This is appropriate. Now talk all you want about it.
Well, it's my understanding that since the paperwork isn't completed yet, we really couldn't probably vote on it.
I don't think we need a vote. It's more of an agreement in this.
We would need a motion, is what our practice is, to have a motion with the paperwork before the commission.
Well, the way I would look at something like this, if one commissioner wants to do something like this, I would never say no on something like that. So
on extending more time.
Well, on, like, if this is a motion, like in something like this, I typically, if someone wants to come in front of us and one commissioner wants to do that, unless I really felt strongly, I would never vote against something like that. Just that's my personal viewpoint. It's not, if it were, we get to the point of something else, perhaps. But
I guess I was kind of moving in a different direction.
Okay.
I don't think we can close this out now and ask to be appointed as the trustees because we don't have the paperwork in front of us. So we'd probably have to either wait for the next regular meeting to do that or schedule a meeting in a couple of days when the paperwork is done.
We could certainly do that.
And so that, I think, is the first alternative. Okay. The second alternative is to not really schedule anything and have a meeting with the proprietor there. I really think that by waiting any longer than necessary, I mean, this is drug out. It's not like it was one little blip and we came down on someone. It drags out and drags out. And in the meantime, we have that place licensed as a grain buyer, and I think we're putting people at risk who potentially take their product in there and sell it and think they're going to get paid. And so I am not seeking any kind of delays in this. I am ready to have a meeting whenever the paperwork is finished and proceed with making a decision.
Okay, that's pretty clear. All right, Julie.
Couple questions. I understood prior, when you were kind of negotiating with Mr. Holberg, there hadn't been any complaints filed.
Correct.
Not at that
claims.
Time. Claims, I mean, claims. But now we have two claims.
Yes.
And
do we even have the authority to not move forward on the insolvency if we have claims? Is that something we even have the choice of doing?
Well, generally the practice of the commission has been that if we received a claim, it's always in the best interest if farmers can be paid rather than going through our insolvency process, because if you can, you know, the licensee can pay them, there's no waiting and you're looking at 100% or whatever the case may be. So our practice has been to contact the licensee and say, hey, we have a claim or we have two claims or whatever the case may be. And we did actually receive two claims that both were resolved.
That he paid.
Yeah, he paid for both of those.
These.
And then we received the third claim here on January 29th,
okay.
And then the fourth on the 7th. And to date, he has not been able to resolve these. Or, I mean, that's like we said, enough. If, you know, pay everybody. Or we're not going to have any option but to go to district court and ask to be appointed trustee. And my understanding from him is the reason he wants to sit down at the commission is if if we ask the court to appoint his trustee, his intentions are to go to the court and make an objection and go through the process, and he said he'd rather use his resources, monies that he comes up with to pay farmers than pay an attorney. So I think that's why he's asking.
Is he a card player? Is that what he's trying to do here?
Well, I don't know if he's a card player or not. He thought at one time he had, I mean, and here's a case of a, you know, we talk about farmers putting all your eggs in one basket. Here we have a licensee putting all of his eggs in one basket. But he had been working with somebody to procure an investment into his business and had a commitment, and my understanding was had the paper signed, and that person has kind of moved on in another direction. And so he is working with a couple different companies. But, you know, I wish I could tell you that he's going to be successful this time. And he told me he had possible investors. And
I think we had this discussion four years ago.
Going on three, yes. In 2010, he was before the commission because he owed a larger amount of money than what he actually owes right now. And he either made payments or he actually paid everybody off except for the one large claimant for which there is a credit sale contract, and we're kind of back to where we were.
Okay.
But there has been some improvement in the sense that credit sale contracts were signed, which is helpful in an insolvency.
Yeah, there has been some improvement.
Have been made.
Not as much as we would like, but there has been some improvement. And he has said that he stopped receiving grain on January 1 because he didn't have the money to pay for it. He does a substantial amount of tolling for other companies, and that's kind of what's been keeping his company afloat. But he did recently purchase two loads, but he said he'd made payments, and so those are a wash. So while there has been a little bit of progress made, fortunately there has been not further debt that he is incurring. So, you know, with that being said, I guess the commission can.
Is there anything we can do? Take my questions as being indication that I want to drag this out, but I'm just trying to learn. Is there anything we can do to formally force him to not take on any more debt, yet not go into insolvency and start that whole legal process? Or is it required that we start the whole legal process of insolvency? And
well, we could issue a cease and desist, and I think that staff would recommend to the commission that we issue a cease and desist, whether it would, let's say hypothetically, you were to make a decision, you know, you were to have a meeting on Friday and have an application for appointment that's ready and decide to file it. I don't know that we would have those documents completed, but I would hope that we would have a cease and desist, a meeting to discuss a cease and desist that would happen as quickly after a decision would be made to go to district court, if that's a direction you decide to go.
But you can do a cease and desist without going to district court.
Could we do a cease and desist? Yeah,
this would be
we
a
could
condition
have
item.
Cease and desist to taking, I mean, that could be done with or without the insolvency, and that can be done fairly quickly. We've pulled them out fairly quickly for others.
And in our application documents, it would contain a temporary ex parte order that we would ask the judge, you know, to sign so that it would order that any assets that would be part of a trust would be protected.
That's if we go to insolvency. But if you did just a cease and desist, which we have done before, forget insolvency, just cease and desist, it's served immediately. It's ex parte. That means without any prior notice to these people, whoever it is, but then they have an opportunity to have a hearing. Because you can't just do it forever without giving them an opportunity. So it's effective, and then they have a certain number of days, and I can't remember the number.
And that gives him his chance to
ask,
come in front of the commission.
That gives him his chance to come in front of the commission. That preserves the I'm not taking any more grain issue to build any additional new potential liability there, insolvency-type liability. And so that's certainly a possibility. It's also a possibility to give him his chance to talk and have all the documents ready to go at that meeting.
Has he ever been here to meet with the commissioners?
Absolutely.
Yes.
3 years ago, that's why my 3 years. And numerous staff discussions since that period of time.
And right.
Then he came in and met with Commissioner Fetch and us.
Yes.
And we went and up there. Since the meeting with the right. whole commission.
And 3 years ago, he did come into compliance. He was successful at that time. Again, whether he's going to be successful this time or not, I have no idea.
Do we have any idea how much he's owing people, how much his debt is?
We do. He owes, I'm glad you're sitting down, he owes approximately $400,000 in credit sale contracts, mm-hmm. in addition to the almost three-year-old HESCO contract, which is $1.8 million. It was $2.1 million, and that's as much as he's paid off. And then he owes approximately $1 million in cash. He has a $50,000 bond. And of that $1 million, he owes approximately $600,000 to one Canadian company that kind of has been keeping him afloat with, and then the rest is spread out amongst mostly Canadians, but a few North Dakota producers.
But if this becomes insolvent and it all plays out, that $1 million of people who are owed for cash sales, since he hasn't been buying anything for almost 2 months, except for two loads, we can probably assume there's no grain there to take possession of. It's basically $50,000 to be divided among $1 million in liabilities.
I think as fast as the grain comes in, it is being ground and sent on down the road into the market.
And I think that's been the case for some time. He's been paying the new grain. He's been paying for some time.
Since the summer, he's been paying for the new grain.
To give him credit,
has been purchasing
credit's
it.
Due.
Yeah. And most of his work, I think, I mean, I was on the phone trying to get some specifics this morning, and I think actually a larger majority of his business up there has nothing to do with buying grain, but has to do with buying other grain that is no longer in its natural state, that has gone through some kind of processing, which he continues to do some processing, and he does tolling and so forth. That seems to be a larger part of his business. But
so the insolvency, although it feels good from the standpoint of enough is enough, if we go down that road, we're looking at $50,000 covered over millions of debts.
About a million.
And there's going to be a lot of people that.
Although, and I mean, I'm not trying to sway you one way or the
1.8?
other, if we decide to go down that road, he can object with the court and, you know, could plead to the court if the case may be. Or even if he doesn't do that, we could decide to do something on Friday, and next Monday he could come up with the money and he could take care of anybody that would be that he owes money to.
And if we did a cease and desist alone, we would be preventing further debt.
Yes.
But allowing him to possibly come up with ways to pay off this debt that he's already incurred.
Yes. And
I think I recognized a bit of a misunderstanding in that conversation on as far as the money. I don't know, I'll rely on Sue to correct me if I misstate this. The $50,000 bond is available for roughly around $1 million in cash sales that he owes.
Mm-hmm.
Those other debts of $2-3 million or whatever it was, those were credit sales. The bond wouldn't cover those, but our indemnity fund would cover 80% up to $280,000
right.
each.
And
keep in mind, though, that's just not money that we run off on the copier either. And if that thing gets down to $3 million, a tax on all the farmers kicks in again.
Yeah. Right.
And so we don't want to just let those develop and develop, because we can always get it out of that fund. Right. So.
And I did run the numbers, and of course the max for a claimant is $280,000. So the $1.8 million that's owed to for that older 2010 mm-hmm. contract, it would be a minimum of 200 or a maximum of 280,000 that they would be eligible for, and then 80% of the 400,000 for credit sale contracts, it would be a debt against the indemnity fund of approximately 600,000. And I can't say this, but I have heard from one claimant that actually told me, I signed the deferred payment contract, but I put it in my drawer, so I didn't send it back to the elevator for whatever their reason may be. So hypothetically, there could be other credit sale contracts that Earth Harvest issued and sent out to be signed and returned, but didn't get signed and returned. And in our prior insolvency, which is Grabansky Grain, that happened, and they came to the hearing with signed credit sale contracts, and they were, you know, they ended up being paid, considered to be eligible credit sale claimants. And so,
okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I know the one person. I don't know if there are more than the one person.
Josh, did you have something to add here? You must.
I got questions here. Is it possible to get a balance sheet and income statement from this company? One, you could see what they have on current assets. Another thing, on a balance sheet, you could identify whether or not they could even raise enough money through investors into the business to cover the cost. Because as it sounds right now, if we've got old claims that continue to perpetuate, this turns into a Ponzi scheme where you take new money to pay old money.
Yeah, we
That's
could
That's essentially kind of what happened. So is there any way to do that analysis to find out if it's even possible for a business to generate millions?
Right. Well, we can always, I mean, we can ask for him for financials, and I would assume that he would be happy to share those with us. I think what we see is a much smaller picture of his overall business, because we only have jurisdiction over, you know, this. And he's got this much of his business, but we can.
Is it all within there? Does he have it segmented out?
But that goes back to the same thing. We don't want to get all, I mean, I hear that what you're saying is perfect, but I guess let me try to button this up a little bit.
Okay.
The choices I think we have are A, do nothing, and B, we could do a cease and desist now and bring him back here later. We could do a full-blown insolvency.
Yes.
But I can't. I think I hear my commissioners saying that they don't. I don't like the idea of him keeping to get grain coming in.
What's the do nothing option involve?
Basically, we just say he's going to come in here and talk to us some period down the road. So,
but we have these claims. So, doing nothing really isn't an option, is it?
I don't think it is, but it could be.
I was thinking you meant by do nothing is agree to meet with him on Friday, which is one option. Number two is get the insolvency documents finalized and get them on their way. And number three would be, and the cease and desist, or number four would be either the cease and desist or the insolvency, but not both. So does that make sense?
If we did the cease and desist, that would still allow us to meet with him.
Yeah, those are together.
So I think, I don't mean the Tranny's portfolio, but where were you at? I guess this is your.
I have a question. The cease and desist would be from buying grain.
Yes.
Yes.
He could continue to process
things that
there,
we. The only thing that
other.
His license. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Taking in an obligation related to the license.
Well, my thought is that we should do the cease and desist immediately, or if we have to have it on paper before we can do it.
Yeah. We can do it fairly quickly.
Or in the morning.
Yeah. They're.
This afternoon,
I don't know for that close.
Well, just a cease and desist, and it only gets served on him. It's the simpler.
And let's continue on with getting that other paperwork prepared to do an insolvency. And if he wants to meet on Friday, if everyone has time to meet with him, can meet with him, and perhaps we can start the insolvency then if we don't like what he brings to the table.
Should bring the two checks to the table. I mean, we haven't talked about that, but I'm going to guess that those are in the back of his mind when he's asking you to talk Friday. I don't think even he would say, don't proceed with an insolvency if I haven't paid these two people.
Right. So he paid the two new ones.
Well, I'm assuming that's where he's going with this.
I think Josh has got a good point in terms of, because I'm sitting here thinking if he ceases and desists, and he's got all this debt, who is going to invest in him unless he has some other way to make money. So we should see if he's going to meet with us. He should bring us that the items that Josh mentioned, and the checks.
Okay, so the cease and desist, could that be an afternoon meeting?
I think so. Today. I vaguely recall doing it one other time over the noon hour.
Okay,
we need that
some other elevator
in front of us.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is. I mean, the cease and desist, I actually drafted those before I started the insolvency one. So they're not finalized, but probably close, and we can get them done. Yeah.
Well, it's
if
just.
We don't have, if we have
why don't we? What do you, Julie and Randy, what do your schedules look like this afternoon?
Make it later.
You can do it late as possible. It doesn't interfere with what you might have going.
I think we're signed up for some kind of a seminar from. Sometime early this afternoon.
And I have something late at the I was planning on leaving at 4.
Would
3:30.
I would. How soon can you do it? I would like to know how soon we could do it. 2?
That's okay. Easter.
What does Lana has something though this afternoon.
That, 2? We'll, we can break that up. I mean, we can not watch that for the time of the meeting. We'll shoot for 2.
Or 2:30, if that's 2:30 better.
2:30 is better. That's the end of that seminar.
Yep.
Let's go 2:30 then.
Okay.
Our informal hearing is canceled, right?
It's canceled.
We just blocked that time out, and if something comes.
There is this thing on the web for an hour and a half is on telecom, and it might, if anybody wants to observe, it's NRRI.
Saw that. Okay. So 2:30, we'll vote on the cease and desist. Now, as far as meeting with him, what are the benefits of meeting with him Friday vice Monday morning, like at 11 or something? Our Fridays tend to be very full already with legislative agenda, and it might allow him a couple extra days to get his ducks in a row.
Yeah, he did just have surgery.
Surgery, yeah.
So I would just ask that. I just think Friday just seems like that's fine. Pretty quick.
It's Friday at the earliest, and so if you're willing to meet on Monday, I would have to check with them, but I assume.
Well, could you do that, Sue, before our meeting at 2:30?
I will do that.
Because I check with my colleagues here really quickly, but you know, on Tuesday or Monday we have that PI meeting at 2:30. So how long would we envision talking to him? An hour would be more than enough.
More than enough.
I can't imagine.
So if you could, I don't know if that works for you, Randy and Julie, but we could do like meet with him at 1:30 on Monday, or my Tuesday is wide open. I know what you guys have.
My Monday is, that works, and Tuesday morning is open. I've got a couple things Tuesday.
1:30 is, I mean, I think a middle of the day, like a late morning or afternoon, yeah. So he can drive in and out if he wants.
Right.
Is probably so Tuesday reasonable
Monday, for him. Or Monday at 1:30.
Yeah.
Okay. Monday at 1:30, that gives him a later. Right, so I will give that to him.
Does that work for you, Randy?
He's been.
Monday at 1:30?
If that doesn't work, Sue, then ask, then we could probably pencil something out Tuesday.
Okay, because I was going to say, I know that when I call him quite often on Monday, he has these bi-weekly or weekly meetings with somebody that. I will do that,
if
though.
If that doesn't work, then we could try Tuesday. Okay. But ask him before our 2:30 meeting.
Okay, I will do that. I will check to see if that works.
Okay.
I would like to have Sue and Josh just conference on the things that, the kind of financials that should
need
be looked at.
Ask for, yeah.
And he should get those sent in advance, not just drag them in here that day.
Okay.
But by Friday morning, he should be able to get those faxed in here so our people have a little time to look at them and see what's realistic here.
Makes sense.
Okay.
Okay, anything else on that? Also, 2:30. All right. Darrell, closure of the ERA grant.
This is just for your information. You know, we submitted the paperwork for the closure of our ERA grant on mid-January, and it is finalized now, and I did have notification yesterday from them that everything has gone through. So I just wanted to share that with you so that you're aware that the ERA grant now is in its final closure.
So do we docket that response back from them? We probably should, I would think, wouldn't we? So it's also, we have, so we save it somewhere.
Okay. Yeah, I can We have an iFile for that stuff right now, so I would just do it in the iFile is what I would do.
All right, perfect. Randy, Julie, any questions about that?
None.
Okay, anything else on the discussion matters that we wanted to add? Jim? No? All right. Sarah? Steve? Okay. Okay, we'll go into scheduling. The Lignite Energy Council quarterly meetings. Jim,
yes,
I knew there was a reason you're sitting around.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I got an email here a couple weeks ago from Lignite Council to schedule our quarterly meetings with Lignite Council includes, for Randy and Julie, your benefits, includes staff from the Lignite Council as well as most of the mining companies and sometimes some of the utility people's commission for years has met with them quarterly. And I guess the times we get an email from LEC and what they're looking at for this year. The first one they're looking at is Friday, March 22nd.
So we have nothing on the schedule right now. Okay.
No, nothing's on the schedule right now. They're usually on Tuesdays, but I think since it's a session, they're wanting to do this one on a Friday instead of
Friday afternoon, did you say?
It's a luncheon meeting, so it's at noon. And they're at the Ramada Bismarck Hotel, formerly the Doublewood, in the judicial room, as what they're looking at.
Well, that works for me. We had the legislative tracking meeting, but we're usually wrapped up by noon.
Works for me.
12 o'clock?
Yep. Then the next one.
Does that work, Julie?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Would be June 4th. That would be a Tuesday at noon.
All right. Well, I always hesitate. We can put it on there, but.
Yeah, and sometimes.
A lot that can happen between now and June 4th.
Well, they like to put them out there because they've got, 25, 30 parties that all schedule around. And usually what happens, quite honestly, is that I don't know that more than once, all three of us have made it to one of those.
So it's one of those.
Yeah, we really
can't make it to every one of them. It's not a big, huge deal.
Jim comes in and lays out what's going on. Dean usually adds a little bit too. And then we don't really have a role in just to kind of listen in.
Okay.
So, I think just schedule them out. And if we can make them, great. If we don't, it's not it happens.
And they generally only go at the latest to
1 o'clock.
Usually 1:30. Right. So it's basically just over the lunch hour. So
sometimes Kevin stuck around at 1 o'clock. Was there that because it was his portfolio, or did they had? I couldn't remember. I didn't know if there was part of the discussion then that the portfolio holder would sometimes stick around with.
Yeah, I guess I wasn't aware that Kevin would stick around. I know sometimes that the environmental managers from each of the mines will stick around and have a meeting. Maybe he stuck around for...
That's just for Randy. I think sometimes Kevin would just sit in and those just to kind of... As long as it was just him, it wasn't a commission meeting. So it just was a good chance for him to visit with some of the guys.
Okay. He's all at the Ramada?
Yeah, they're all at the
all right,
Ramada.
So you said June 4th?
June 4th.
All right.
Then the other dates they had for September 10th and December 10th.
September 10th. Good heavens. Well, mine's open.
November 10th? September and November.
And December.
Oh, so September, December 10th. Okay.
Never been to December on here before. I don't even have Christmas scheduled in yet.
December 10th. Let's see here, actually.
I know sometimes.
When's Nehruk?
Sometimes that December one conflicts with
November. Nehruk is
with I don't know if it's a Nehruk or a Mark meeting or something.
There's
I know that in December
that week of. Well, same advice I thought Julie is. Yeah, put it down. If one of us doesn't make it, we don't make it. But
then later on, if something else does come up and you want to reschedule, I guess we've done that on occasion too. Okay. So.
Alrighty. Anything else, Jim?
Nope. That's it.
Okay, perfect. Work session, PSC budget testimony. That was me. Our budget hearing is next Wednesday at 2 o'clock. Or I'm sorry, is it 2 o'clock or 2:30? 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock.
So we've got the budget that we first did. We've got the budget testimony that we did as a follow-on. We've got to have, I think, a lot of discussion about what exactly we want to say. I just thought it would be a good chance for us to talk about that, if that makes sense to you, too. Okay.
Right now.
We're scheduling it.
No, not to schedule it right now.
Oh.
So, December doesn't work. Let's get What month are we in now? February?
We only have one day left in February.
Well, I was thinking actually tomorrow. My tomorrow looks pretty good. And then we're not putting ourselves in a crunch on, we could talk about it tomorrow and give ourselves some time to go through it next Monday or Tuesday. What does your days look like?
My tomorrow? Morning is kind of hectic tomorrow. Okay. But the afternoon would be better.
Julie?
I have a 3 o'clock, 3 to 3:30. So, but from 1 until...
About 1:30 we start. 1:30 to 3, let's block out. And then if we're not done, then we keep rolling. But does that work?
Mm-hmm.
Esther, that work for you? Okay. All right. Mr.
1:30 to 3?
Yeah, we'll just block that whole time out. And then commissioner interviews for attorney 2 position. Daryl, you were going to talk to the 2 attorneys and see when they were available?
Yeah, I did get a chance to talk to both of them. They're aware of the interview. Both have March 5th, 6th, and 7th available. Ryan prefers afternoon. So, I mean, they're pretty open to that.
What is that?
The next month or the next week, they're pretty flexible, too. But I know we want to try to do this as quickly as we possibly can. And
well, March 6th, I think we're all pretty booked. We've got right. Fort Ransom, our budget hearing. The 7th, we've got our MISO training. But the 5th is open. Alana, what does your schedule look like in the 5th?
What days are you talking about?
Tuesday.
Fine.
Well, because I think it'll be the 3 of us interviewing them, but it's always nice if you know you're available and others too.
Yeah.
Can that fella from, one guy's out of Larimore, right?
Right.
The other one's a D.C. guy?
The other guy's from D.C.
Can he get here that quick?
I can, he said he'd be available, so we would be paying the airfare, so it'd be, right. Yeah.
Well, we should talk about that a little bit. I said, what do you guys think about? My gut says it would like to be nice if they could be here, but if you guys, if it gets to be a lot, maybe it's not worth it. I don't know. We're probably talking, what? $2,000 to bring the guy out here in that short notice?
At least.
Yeah.
Either that or we could go into the next week, commissioners, you know, which would give them a little bit more time.
What's that, Alana?
Fire get the price.
I'm not trying to do a price.
Oh. I mean, what do you, Randy, Julie, what do you guys think about giving, I mean, I don't know. In the beginning, I was very much, bring him out here. But then after I thought about it a little bit, like, well,
I'd be willing to do the interactive video personally. But.
Okay. Randy, what do you think?
You know, I'm going to kind of go along with the two of you on this. I don't have a lot of experience at interviewing employees and that sort of thing, so I'm going to trust in your ability on that one to decide whether that's fine. It certainly is fine with me.
Okay.
I'd rather. Think about bringing them in. I mean, if there's some problem or if we feel like we need, it's not clear between the two candidates, then we can always go the next step.
Okay.
I just think for a couple $1,000, which is probably what it would cost at this point to get him here, I don't think it's justified.
Okay. Well, how about we already caucused. Is that what you call it, Randy? We all get together. Well, let's just do him by inner video. And then what we'll do is if we make a selection and it turns out to be him, then maybe we would want him to come back. How does that sound for fair? To make a final hire without ever talking to an individual, I'm still a little reluctant about that. But to do the next interview on short notice.
Can I play devil's advocate just a little? I'm going to say that.
What if I said no, it wouldn't change what you're going to say, yeah. Steve?
You can tell me to be quiet. if you look at what you are looking to lay out even in the first 6 months while he's under probation to see whether or not he's going to be a fit for the commission. I think even though airfare is high, it's probably better than pulling somebody in, having him here 2 or 3 months and figuring out that for some personality quirk, whatever it may be, they don't fit, they don't do the job well, something, I don't know. I just think that if you're going to hire at that level, you probably should see him eye to eye, but I'm kind of old school that way.
No.
Well, then do we have to rush and get him here next week? Maybe we can get the 14-day price on the tickets.
It could be closer to 1,000. I don't know. Have you pulled anything up yet?
About $1,200.
If
What about on the?
If you went on
20th.
Well, $1,200 really isn't.
No, that's so outrageous. Not good.
Let's get at it. I don't think we should wait 2 weeks over.
Okay.
A few hundred dollars.
Well, and the 5th is a good day because it's crossover, so we know we don't have.
So you're okay with that?
I'm okay with 1,200. Yeah.
All right. Okay, then we solve that crisis.
So both of them schedule on the 5th then.
Right.
Okay, I can do that.
Let's do.
Schedule the DC one first. So figure out which day it's going to work.
What time?
What time works better for you? Maybe. If he's in the morning, that means he can leave that night. Or if it's in the afternoon, that means he can just come in that morning. Or
was he the one that preferred the afternoon, Alana? Was
the one from Lamar prefers the afternoon.
Okay. Oh, okay. I didn't.
He's got, okay. So do we? Yeah. Do we have any? I have no conflicts on March 5th right now for time. Do either of you?
Anytime. I do not either.
Okay. So
the whole day is pretty.
Let's double check with Julie here.
The only thing is,
I have a 2 o'clock, two to three. That's I want to be on. It's a webinar, so but I'm one, I'm free, three I'm free all morning. I'm free.
Okay, so
that helps.
Anytime but 2 to 3 on Tuesday works for us.
How long are we scheduling?
I would say 45 minutes. Give me an hour.
45 hour. Minutes. I would block an hour and.
It doesn't really necessarily apply to this, but let me just throw this out for the rest of our day on March 5th. I think we should try and all keep as much of it available as possible because that's the day before our budget.
Yeah.
And if the first time through is any indication, we'll probably be making last-minute changes and wanting to discuss them. So.
Absolutely. Yeah, if we can get that guy at 1, that'd be better than the afternoon guy than 4.
1 and 4?
No, I'm saying that'd be better
than 4.
I think the guy from D.C., get him in the morning so he can come in Monday, get him first thing Tuesday morning, and then get him out of here on a plane. That would make sense.
All right. So I'll work with Monday Josh on getting the details of that and the funding for it.
Okay. All right. And let's see. I had a note here just for my colleagues. I wanted to just schedule a meeting for the three of us just to kind of do like an after action of our first 6 weeks in the commission. No staff needed, just the three of us to go through whatever we want to talk about. So maybe we could do that next week, too. When's the March 5th is shot, the 6th is shot, the 7th is shot. Maybe we can't do it next week. The 8th. Boy, we're shot next week, aren't we?
Does that need to be noticed any before
it does.
Monday?
Anytime.
No, but it doesn't need to be noticed before Monday afternoon.
What do you mean?
It has to be noticed as soon as...
It could be noticed today, and we could do it today.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So
as soon as possible.
If we're kind of saving the rest of our day, we're not going to sit here for hour after hour on the budget. Why don't we just plan on doing that on Wednesdays or on Tuesday as well, and we'll just fit it in somewhere.
What about Friday? We don't have much at the end of this week.
I'm okay with Friday.
Because next week it's going to be jammed. Jam that in there too.
March 1st.
So are you talking about this Friday, March 1st?
Let's Julie throw out there. Randy, does that work for you? And like 1:30?
I mean, after the director's meeting?
We go into the legislative tracking meeting then.
Which shouldn't take long because there's hardly any hearings next week.
Right.
Unless, when are we doing our budget testimony? Tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
Yeah, so...
Well, do you want to do...
Or we could do it tomorrow afternoon, too. Whatever. Tomorrow afternoon works. Friday afternoon works fine, too, if we want to plan for that. If we get done early, we could move it back. Oh, no, we couldn't.
That's a problem. You got to schedule these stuff.
I'm fine with
1:30. Let's do Friday afternoon. Friday.
Okay. Sure. You want to do 1:30?
Yep.
All right. 1:30 Friday. What should we call it? Esther, what should we call this? Commissioner Staff Planning. How's that sound?
Or
Commissioner Planning Session.
You just called the commissioner 6 week review.
No. Commissioner Strategic Planning. Let's call it that, Esther. Commissioner Strategic Planning. Because I hope to do these more than just once every 2 years. So, okay. Anything else for the good of the order? Since it's all of us just sitting here. All right, we'll close the administrative session.